Chapter 9. Hannibal Wayne Slaughter has always been in some kind of service to his country. He began his career as a Marine, where he had become a drill bit chewing, hammer punching, butt kicking drill instructor. After 5 years, he went through college majoring in criminal science and law enforcement. Once graduated, he applied for the FBI and was accepted. After 10 years, he became restless and signed on briefly with the CIA before joining the Marshals Service. He worked some of the worst cases the service offered. He tracked the worst killers and received several commendations for his efforts. Then, after 20 years of service, he was given a team he personally selected, a team that would eagerly go after the most dangerous of villains such as Ellis Davis.
"So,"
said H.W., as he was known by his closest comrades,
"do we still think this Davis is in Detroit?"
His piercing blue eyes scanned the official forms, all the while chewing a cigar he always kept in the corner of his mouth.
"I believe he is hiding out somewhere there, yes,"
said Marshal Tester.
"And why is it we believe this?" he asked, still chewing his cigar.
"At first, I thought the victims he had killed were revenge killings, so I thought maybe he left town. But then I came to realize there was nothing linking them other than the inmate that worked for Van Johnson."
H.W. gazed up from the file.
"And have you spoken with the inmate?"
"Yes, and he, of course, would not talk, even with the threat of solitary."
H.W. laid the papers on the desk. He pushed the white hair off his brow and to the left.
"All right, let's get down there and knock on every door in Detroit. I want this man brought in within the next 24 hours.
"Yes, sir,"
Marshal Tester said as she leaped to a standing position. The small red light began flashing erratically, and then a monitor came to life. The image showed a man crouched in a dark tunnel.
"Oh, we have a guest,"
Ellis said as he crushed out a cigarette. He then turned to look at the doctor, who was frantically moving his fingers over the computer keyboard simultaneously.
"Doctor, have you made any phone calls lately?"
No.
"Oh, well, you just sentenced this poor man to his death. And now you need to step up the process, or I start cutting."
The doctor's face ran flush. He looked back to the flashing lights as his fingers kept up their rhythm.
"Now, don't you go anywhere,"
Ellis said as he picked up a syringe from a black bag that was sitting beside the wooden desk. Below the Van Johnson estate, the assassin, known as Angel, crouched in a corner as he placed a sound suppressor on the end of his pistol. The small, almost invisible light that he stepped through went unnoticed. He placed his duffel bag onto the ground. He placed a pair of night vision goggles over his eyes. And then he felt a dull pain to the back of his neck. His eyes went blurry. He fell forward, catching himself on the palms of his hands. And then he heard footsteps that sounded as though he was being circled.
"I hope this was all worth the horrible death you're about to face, my friend,"
Ellis said as he knelt beside the head of the assassin.
"I would say you are feeling very poorly. Are you not? Well, there is a good reason. I just filled the base of your brain with a substance called ricin."
"What is ricin?"
"I am glad you asked. Well, ricin is very poisonous if inhaled, injected, or ingested. It can also be poisonous if dust contacts the eyes, or if it is absorbed through the damaged skin. It acts as a toxin by inhibiting protein synthesis. It prevents cells from assembling various amino acids into proteins according to the messages it receives from the messenger RNA in a process conducted by the cell's ribosome, the protein-making machinery, if you will. That is the most basic level of cell metabolism, essential to all living cells and thus to life itself.
Ricin is resistant, but not impervious, to digestion by peptidasis. By ingestion, the pathology of ricin is largely restricted to the gastrointestinal tract, where it may cause mucosal injuries. In other words, you are going to die. But I'm sure you knew that already.
Ellis stood to his feet.
Oh, and not peacefully either. So enjoy your death.
Angel lay with his body almost in a state of paralysis. He watched as a cigarette fell to the ground inches from his eyes. He could feel his temperature rising. He could feel the sweat beating on his forehead. His head began to ache, and then he lost sight.
Okay, that's that. Now, time to punish me a doctor,
said Ellis as he made his way down the narrow tunnel.
Marshal Tester,
she said into her cell phone. Marshal, this is Jack Manson. I believe I know what Ellis is up to.
Detective Manson, I was under the impression you were not all that interested in aiding us in this.
I found out some disturbing inform...
Thank you, Detective, but I believe we have found our fugitive. And should we require your assistance, I will call you. Thank you again. And we are getting ready to move in. Bye for now.
Wait, Jack said as he pulled his phone from his ear. They have no idea what they are getting into.
Yes, if what you say is true, they will need your assistance,
Chung said from the rear seat of Manson's car. Manson looked to Roger, who just nodded his head. Well, I have no idea where Van Johnson's estate is. We need to go back and get Carl. He will know, Jack said as he spun his vehicle around.
My gosh, he is moving,
the doctor said, just as Ellis Davis re-entered the laboratory.
Now, doctor, you have some explaining to do.
No, wait,
the doctor said as he threw a hand up.
He is moving. I have him completely thawed, and his joints are surprisingly well preserved. I do not know what kind of metal they used, but it's magnificent.
Ellis made his way to where the now open glass coffin sat. He looked down at the figure that lay inside. His mouth gaped open. He was, for a moment, stunned. He first noticed the forearms. There were two blades protruding from his left and one from his right. He was clothed in black.
Will he live?
Ellis asked as he looked up toward the doctor. The doctor looked up at the machine.
His heart is racing.
Without any warning, the doctor felt himself being lifted from the ground and flying through the air. Then another red light came on, followed by the outside security cameras. Ellis had seen the man inside the coffin fling the doctor with no effort, but Davis himself felt no fear as he turned to see two black sedans pull into the circular driveway. He then turned back to face death calling. Ellis paused at the behemoth that stood before him.
Can you understand me?
Asked Ellis. No response. Death Calling stood massive, arms out to his side.
Well, you see those cars? They are coming to put you back in there,
Davis said as he pointed to the metal coffin. Death Calling looked to the cameras. He could see several figures making their way toward the front of the mansion.
No, I will kill them all,
he uttered in a low voice. Davis felt the pain in the side of his face as Death Calling swung a backhand, landing it on the narrow cheekbone of Davis, sending him hard against the wall. Outside, the U.S. Marshals had begun ascending onto the grounds of the Van Johnson estate.
Tester, take Cullen and Jones. Cover the rear,
H.W. said into his earpiece.
The rest of you follow me. We are going in the front.
Just wait there, Carl. We are going to pick you up. We need you to show us where the Van Johnson place is located, Jack said into his receiver as he flipped his police siren on. He then looked into his rearview mirror. Chung was still silently in the rear seat. Chung, when we get Carl, stay with him. Don't let him get hurt.
Mr. Manson, I believe this is what your destiny is. I have been seeing things. Yes, I know that I am blind, but we can still see things. And I see you bringing an unusual group of people together for a common goal. A goal that went unfinished back when you first met my grandfather. And in the coming days, you will find why you have lived so many lives.
Hey, what about me? Roger said as he turned his head to look back at the Asian man.
You are just about done.
Roger shot a questioning look toward Manson, who just shrugged his shoulders. The wall exploded outward beside two of the U.S. Marshals. H.W. ducked and rolled into the staircase. He raised his head up. Everyone, something is here near the front entrance. He watched as Death Calling stepped through the wall as if it were made of paper mache. H.W. made it to his feet. Stop, or I will kill you. Death Calling slowly turned his head to face H.W. That's when H.W. noticed the red glow behind the dark mask Death Calling was now wearing. The light was coming from where he assumed the eye was. Death Calling felt a blow to the side of his head, but all of the metal implants had prevented him from feeling any pain. His head jerked from the impact, but only slightly. He then turned to see an agent standing with the butt of his rifle pointed at him. Death Calling drew back a fist and punched his hand through the agent's faceplate and an inch into his skull. The remaining three marshals began firing their weapons in rapid succession. Death Calling was being knocked backwards from the impact of the bullets. Then another round of bullets were being fired, this time from another direction. Death Calling turned his head as he watched Ellis Davis fire two Colt 45 1911s at the marshals. Death Calling then sprung his blades from his arms and began hacking away at the defeated agents. H.W. looked up from where he was laying. He heard footsteps somewhere near him. He felt two bullets enter his back, and he saw the blade that went into his right side. He gasped for a breath as it was getting harder each time he inhaled. He looked to his right. He saw his men laying all around like lambs that had been slaughtered. None of them were moving. His eyes were fuzzy, but he could see the unstoppable man walk toward the doorway. Then he saw Ellis come from behind.
This is your town now. Go and wreak havoc and get revenge on the ones that did this to you. You will never have a normal life. So go and kill as many as you can until that hollow, dark hole inside you is filled.
Ellis said as he patted Death Calling on his shoulder. Ellis then turned and walked into another room. H.W. closed his eyes and laid his head back after he watched Death Calling disappear into the oncoming night. Blood covered the walls. The sound of moaning filled the room. Marshal Tester paused at the horrendous sight of her teammates as they lay about the foyer. Then she caught sight of H.W.
Oh, dear Lord!
She muttered as she slowly lowered her pistol that was clasped in both her hands. She turned to look over her shoulder.
Search the place, but be careful,
she said as she made her way to H.W.
Go!
The soldier gasped as he looked into her eyes.
He's headed,
he gasped again.
To downtown. He will kill everyone.
He said before his head fell back to the floor.
All units, report to the downtown district of Detroit,
Tester said into her handheld radio.